Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything, your long retreat. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, this is related to what you have to work on. How has this been an ongoing process in your life? How is this current? How is this currently apparent in your life? So let's hear from our first caller.
All right.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Ann calling from the Bay Area, and I have to say that I am so happy to be here.
I know the feeling.
Well, I am just calling with a practice miracle. So I just have the perfection of life, the fact that we had the assignment we had on Tuesday, and what was interesting is when I first read it, Conditioning read it as, what character flaw do you need to work on?
A little editorializing.
Yes, exactly. But what I need, I'm so excited. I am just bursting at the seams because practice works. So what I needed to work on was this email that I received about a month ago that was very gunk-filled, you know, dark and heavy. And my initial response, which I followed, was just set it aside for now. And my second meandering of what to respond, I've now seen, was totally karmic. And then I had another option of, well, I'm just not going to say anything, you know, silence. And then I had the great good fortune of, which I'm now seeing as fortune, of being sick and not being able to go to the monastery this past weekend. So I chose to make it a practice weekend, even though I couldn't be there. And I reread the email class on communication, which was perfect for the thing I'm working on, right? And so then I called the radio show, but I just didn't know how to talk about it without getting completely bogged down in content. But then, as life would have it, I had a reflective listening buddy call right after that, and so I talked about it. And then, miraculously, something shifted, and a response dropped in that had nothing to do with the content, addressed the process, and had nothing to do with me. No ego in it. I was shocked because I had not seen the way for a month, and then it just dropped in. And I was like, oh, my God. And I've sat with it. I've asked for guidance in meditation. But it just wasn't coming. And then all of a sudden, it came. And not only did it come, but then I saw the second assignment Wednesday of, you know, what does this have to do with, how is this, whatever, you know, whatever the question is.
Yeah.
That this was a mini version of my, you know, the most difficult relationship in my life with one of my sisters. And my initial karmic reaction that I did not act on to this man was exactly, it was like a mini version of that relationship. And it was like, wow. I don't know, Sherry. I mean, I don't even know how to begin to communicate and express to you two and to the Sangha, because I really want to say thank you to the entire Sangha for all the practice opportunities that are given, that I could work on this really, really hard thing. And I feel like you talk about hitting I don't even play tennis, but you talk about hitting the tennis ball in a way that it just goes, and then you know what you're going for. It's like, I'm like, oh, my God, this is what practice is about. I really had the intent of, I did not want to create more suffering. I didn't want to perpetuate karma, and I couldn't see how to do it. And then it just dropped in, right, after lots and lots and lots and lots of work. Right. But anyway, so can you tell I'm excited?
Well, yes, I can tell you're excited, and I don't blame you a bit. Because not only through a lot of work, which also felt very guided, right, to just set it aside. Look at it periodically, but knowing that you didn't know, knowing that I don't want to come from karma, I don't want to, but you had no idea that this is actually about a lifetime of karma with your sister, right?
Yes.
And actually that your sister is probably about lifetimes of karma.
Yes.
Right, and so working for all of your adult life on this issue whether you were always conscious that that's what was happening or not. And then practice is, it's like the longer and the more we practice, the more it feels like it's speeding up. So all of these things come together. So you can't go to the monastery because you're sick and you decide to reread the communication email class. And you know, so each one of these things that drops in, there's the conversation, there's the reflective buddy call, it all, when we step back the way you have, we can see how perfectly it's all unfolding. I started to say orchestrating, but that implies somebody's doing it, which I don't personally believe. I mean, it could be true, but I just don't personally believe it. But how perfectly it's unfolding to take you to this moment of, I get it.
Yes, and you know what? One of the things that you said in many, many, many different ways in the communication class is the only problem that exists is between our two ears.
Yep.
Right? And so what I saw in this was that I was not responding to him. It was like this image of I was going into a boxing ring against egocentric karmic conditioning. And if I was going to respond on any level of content, I was going to get knocked out by conditioning.
Yeah.
I just feel like, wow, I won that round because I totally stayed on a process level, and I had the guidance of those questions. Is it kind? Is it how is this not about me? You know, all of mm-hmm. this, it's like everything, all the gifts of practice came together in this moment where I could respond in a skillful way and not perpetuate suffering. And I'm just like, oh my God, that's what we're doing here.
Yes. Yes, yes, those lights come on.
I just am so grateful.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for you. You know, and even with something like being sick, because, you know, we get sick and we're so conditioned that, oh, no, this is such a mistake and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, and what's wrong.
Why me? It is always
why me? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we realized, oh, actually it was so I could go on this retreat, not that retreat.
Yeah, and that all of life is a workshop, and that metaphor of the hitting the tennis racket, hitting the ball, or the baseball bat, hitting that ball, just mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, it's so clear it wasn't me. I mean, it's so clear I did all this work, but I had no idea what the answer was. I had no idea.
Right.
And it just dropped in, and then I sat with it overnight, and I thought, well, I don't know. I'm going to sit with this. And then I thought, well, I still don't know, but this feels like the thing to say, and I feel complete with it, and so I'm going to do this. And it was like that tennis racket. You know, it was right in the sense of compassionate action. And and it's like, okay, now I know that's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing that I bet you know, and I hope everybody knows and remembers all the time, is that we are exactly that taken care of, whether we know it or not.
Mm. Yeah, but yes, because what I saw in the response was that if I had been the recipient of that, I would have felt the compassion in it. That I didn't feel, I wouldn't have felt anything coming at me. And I went through mm-hmm. that period of being pissed off and wanting to come at him with content. And I you know, I'm just so grateful. I can just see mm-hmm. how we're ending suffering. We're turning the wheel of karma in the opposite direction. And the only way to do that is to not insert ego into it and to not operate on a level of content. Although, interestingly enough, it's a content, like a piece of email or something, that lets us transcend that process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. But what we don't do is get in the ring with ego. I mean, we do, until we get tired of being knocked down. Right? And then we realize the only way to win this fight is not to fight.
Isn't that great? That's great, because I was thinking, I was in the ring and I dodged all those. No, I said, I'm not going in the ring. I'm not going in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
That's so helpful. So I have the great practice opportunity to be rereading There Is Nothing Wrong With You, and I was just emailing your co-author and saying, and I'll just say this out loud to everybody, what an amazing book that is. And I just feel the loving kindness emanating from every page. It is astoundingly beautiful. So I just want to say
good.
Thank you for that too.
And I want to ask you about that. Are you reading it in English or Spanish?
I'm reading it in Spanish to double check it. And yeah,
that's so great. So there's a thank you for those compliments about the book. I can accept those on behalf of the author. The same one we've been talking about all this time, the intelligence animating us, and that now it is going, very soon it's going to be available in Spanish, which we're really, really excited about. So thank
you
for
that.
Yeah, I'm
just about to send an email off to ask for a little guidance on some things, but it's such a wonder, I'm just so, it's, you know, one of those win-win situations where I feel like I'm making a contribution by doing this, but I feel like I'm getting so much by doing this.
Right, the perfect contract.
Yes, yes, exactly.
All right.
Well, I will shut up now so somebody else can contribute, but you can tell I'm lit up. Thank you.
Yep, pretty lit up. All right, thank you. Thank you, Anne.
Right. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Anne. That's just not the best way to win this game is not to play.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that dropped in for me in that conversation is something that I think I read somewhere. I think it was a quote from someone that said, Zen is alchemy. It transforms us from base metal into gold. And that is, it is such a what I heard in that is that process of transformation that we're experiencing, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. movement from what we thought we were to living that oneness with all that is, and mm-hmm. that we do our part by showing up in the process, and then that's the transformation that happens, and we can experience it as concretely as Anne was talking about in an email. Mm-hmm. In the way that we know we don't need to do that and that we have to wait mm-hmm. and then do this. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a clue about what it is that we're here for. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, it is, and I'm glad you brought it, you know, you framed it that way, because it is an indication that we don't need to do anything, right? We need to show up. And, of course, ego would argue that that's a doing, but it's not. It's mm-hmm. not the, you have to fix this, you need to change, there's something wrong with you. You know, we just show up and, to the best of our ability, pay attention. And all the rest of the transformation is going to happen. And then we get to that place that Anne is in where, wow, you know, the word miracle really does apply.
Yeah, yeah, and it's in that, it's in all of the awarenesses, right, that we're so guided, that this is what we're here mm-hmm. for, this is what is possible, mm-hmm. this is what I'm participating in, this is what my life mm-hmm. is about, you know,
yeah.
from the human to the cosmic, the awareness of that continuity of experience is what lights us up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ooh, from the human to the cosmic.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Truly love it. All right, here's
truly
our next
love
caller.
It. Yeah.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
I keep always wait for that. Oh, you may now ask your question, because it's fun. It's like, whoa, it's me.
It's me.
Right. And wow, that conversation was just brilliant. It was like, it shows us why we have to show up for Sangha. I mean,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, these morning shows, I get lit up every morning. If I'm not lit up already, I certainly can't listen to any of this without getting lit up. And then, you go to group and get lit up. You go, you know, so it kind of like, it reminds me of, of a fire where it's lit, it's there, but it starts going down, you know, and then you just stir up the, the embers and stir it up and
put another log on.
Yeah, and there it goes again. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty amazing. And
if I may,
yes, please.
Going along with what you just said, so we talk about the only way to win the game is not to play, or the only way to win the fight is not to fight. And the only way for the transformation not to happen is not to show up,
which is
why, of course, the voices in the head work so hard to have people be too busy or, I'll listen later or not today, you can call in tomorrow or whatever that is, because what those voices of ego know is you can't mess around with this stuff and not catch fire.
That's right. That's right. You know, and it's like sitting in meditation or whatever, you just sit there and over the years you wonder, wow, I'm completely transformed, and here you were just sitting there.
I was just sitting here trying to relax. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I was working on, what you need to work, on, and what I saw in it is, so I decided that I would work on not following distractions, off down the primrose path and staying present. Mm-hmm. Perhaps practicing that. What I saw is, for one thing, I saw what distractions were. You know, they're not, it's not content like, oh, I'm going to sit and read this book. You know, unless I'm sitting and reading the book for distraction purposes, it's not a distraction. But what distraction seems to me to be that I'm looking at is the kind that where, I'm doing something in the present that I need to be doing, and then all of a sudden there's this, sometimes there's thoughts, sometimes I get it, but it's not life, I know, it's a urge, and I find myself ending up doing something else, and then I have to really hurry because now there's not enough time to do what it is I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And
so that would be a great opportunity for, yes, I'll do that when I finish this, right? Which is that's a technique, of course, that ego uses to try to get us not to do what the heart is intent on, right? So you can do that later. So we can use that same, I can do that later against that system, right?
Yes, because it's probably something that needs to get done, but it's just like,
very likely.
Sift over to it, And what I saw was then what it takes the time away from, especially in the morning, is, I'll be the things I really want to do that are important, in that exercise we did say, like, 10 things that are important. Well, I end up not having enough time to do yoga the way, the way I want to do it, or miss a walk because of it, or something,
Yeah. So the training is, that's good. And, it can even still be one of those places where you keep a little notebook, a la Leonardo, you keep a little notebook in your pocket, and you just jot it down. Oh, yeah, that's good. I want to.
Exactly.
Wouldn't probably remember it, but it's just a way of placing it somewhere. And as soon as I finish all these things, and boy, I'm going to underline that one, raise my hand, I'd second that motion, that taking care of the things that take care of the heart first, that's the secret. Because all that other stuff, we'll find a place for it somewhere in the day. After the human being is taken care of.
That's what I was seeing, how important that is. And that is the love and compassion that we're offering the human. It's not just a lot of words or feelings even. It's the actually, doing the things that would, support the human.
Prioritizing.
Prioritizing
the person. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and So, yeah, and I saw that as the restraint and religious observances. That's kind of how I was seeing it, that because there's this generally kind of an urge or a movement towards, you know,
yeah,
the other.
Yep.
And
yes, oh, that's,
it's like,
that's so good.
Yeah. So just
I think that, that might be the actual application of that precept, right?
Ooh, I saw that. It felt like it might.
Yeah, the restraint, and to stay with the religious observances, taking prioritizing
right.
the care of the human being. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's really good. All right.
Yeah, so I'm so grateful, as everybody else is, for this class and everything we do. It's just all just it's
we,
complete
we
loving kindness.
We must keep meeting like this. Yeah, we
yes,
have to keep meeting
do.
Like this.
We do.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank
very
you,
much.
Phil.
Okay.
Go
bye.
Happy.
You go happy too. Bye. And Sweeney, bye.
Thanks, Bo. Oh, that was just unbelievable. We keep getting those clues as to the practical applications of practice in life, right? That what you were
yes.
talking about with Phil, which is it's about taking care of all that is life first. If we practice that, that's the life we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what we attend to is what we get, huh?
Yeah, truly. And I think we were talking about it, that it's really, this whole retreat is really about how we do anything. And so when we mm-hmm. see how we do it from the conditioned perspective and then practice doing it differently, it's that where do you look to say, I'm happy to be here? If that's our orientation,
yeah.
we have a completely different life experience.
Yes. Yeah, and it's training, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're
mm-hmm.
we're training ourselves to that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we have time for, I think, one more caller, maybe even two. Here we go. Next caller, you're
All
now
right.
live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini.
Hello.
This is Margaret. How are you?
Hey, Margaret.
Well, I'm doing great, Margaret. Happy to be here. How about you?
I am so happy to be here. Truly.
We have the Bay Area Sangha this morning.
We do. And
yeah.
They are lit up. Yes.
And they are lit up.
Well, I had one of those experiences that could have only happened if I were doing this practice also, of seeing, I don't know how to put it another way, that I was going to say dresses it up a little bit, but it's like I just saw that ego really doesn't care if I'm alive or not. It just wants to get me to however it can. And I saw that process around getting up and getting, you know, going and getting to the radio show. And it was so ridiculous when it came to, it was so clear that this is ego and it doesn't care. It doesn't have any interest in my well-being. In the,
none.
You know, the, none, none.
None.
Because
it, that's why its first name is egocentric.
Yeah, right.
Right. It is completely self-serving.
Yes.
And you're not the self it's serving.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Yeah. And I really have experienced those undulations where I'm in a different place and I'm not even in my awareness that could happen or that that's true in a way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm just going through life and life is wonderful and then I'm in an undulation where I need to see that again. Mm-hmm. It's like I need to wake up. And
well, and what you're pointing at is a really subtle place. Because the assumption that we're trained to is, if I'm just going along and I'm enjoying life, well, I must be present. You know, I must be here. I must be awake. And then we start getting these little indications that might not be the case. You know, I might actually be sleepwalking. And I'm not in any kind of resistance that flags me, but I'm also not here in life. Right? And for most people, that eventually slides into really unhappy, unpleasant places. But for a long time, it doesn't catch our attention that I'm actually not here. Which is why, when you were talking, I thought that image that we've used all along, it probably is not original with us, but excuse me, the teeth brushing approach to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't get up in the morning and say, well, shall I brush my teeth today or not? Well, I don't know. I could probably brush them tomorrow. You know, there are just some things that we just do. You know, shall I use the bathroom today or, and of course, we know a lot of people get trapped in that, right? They say the voices in their head won't let them get up and leave the desk to go to the bathroom. So, you know, that sounds kind of funny, but people really get trapped in that kind of thing. So you realize, whoa, wait a minute here. I think I need to get back to the teeth brushing. I get up and I do these things not because I'm getting information that I feel like it, but just because it's who I am and it's what I do.
Yes. Yes, and I get so much, then I'm transformed. Like folks are saying, I'm with Sangha and there isn't anything better than this.
And you can feel, right? You can feel the difference of really being here. That laugh is part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we can be going along, oh, yeah, life is good. Yeah, I have so much to be grateful for. Uh-huh. But there isn't that delight. That's one of the clues that I'm not really here. You know, I don't actually notice the cute babies or puppies or the little shoots of whatever it is coming up in springtime. I don't really see them. And I'm so grateful. I'm really happy. I'm really enjoying life. I is enjoying life. We want to notice that and just register a little, maybe time to pay closer attention.
Yes, and I think that what got my attention to hear that the other morning was a couple mornings before that. I also have a reflective listening buddy call right after the show. And during that, I could feel myself disidentify during the program and then just completely be present for whatever showed up during the call for myself, not even a thought of really what I was going to say, and continued that whole process to joy, and finally seeing that it's like I just remembered this thing that I just always want to remember is just losing interest in what the voices say. Because there's drama. Just losing interest in, well, knowing it's the voice, but losing interest because it had been telling me something like, that something was wrong. I can't remember exactly the framing of it, but it was that slow awareness that something was wrong. That it was kind of sliding down, you know, to that. And
vague dissatisfaction, kind of unease, just you're headed toward the edge of the precipice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's there. That's why the losing interest phrase is so helpful. It's there. It's going to be there. I don't care what it's doing. My focus is on this. I have a human being to save. I got stuff to do. I need to be present for this. This is big. This is a big assignment, and I know I'm equal to it, and I don't want to lose sight of it.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
All
Enjoy,
right.
Enjoy, huh?
All
You're
right.
Happy.
Yes. You guys too.
Thank you both. All of us. Thank everybody. Everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. And here's our assignment. So still related to how has this process been an ongoing process in your life and how is it currently apparent? And the question then is, what would you need to do to resolve it? Record and listen.
This is good, isn't it?
Very good.
All right. Yeah. Well, right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. And
Deep gosho, Sherry.
Gosho to you. Treasure yourselves.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.